This chazar zeichen neshabel chesuk shalang v'am yehudim tzechli v'am mitzaf yotes. Firek Marbaya had said that Rishimin is certain that there's a zika when there's only one yavam, but not when there's more than one yavam. However, Rishimin says in a brayse the general rule is if the new brother is born before the yavam does yibam, the new brother need not do chalitza or yibam. If the second brother is to then also die childless, if the brother is born after the yibam and the second brother then dies without children, then he must do chalitza or yibam. Now, presumably this is discussing where there's only one eligible yavam, and still the yavam is not considered to be married to him until the yibam takes place. This suggests that Rishimin doesn't hold of zika even when there's only one yavam. Where it says the brayse is discussing where there's more than one yavam. In fact, this would mean that if there was only one Yavam, there would be Zika, and the new brother who was born before Shimon's Yibam would be subject to Yibam Chalitza if Shimon were to die. If so, the Braisa didn't have to contrast cases of where Levi is born before or after the Yibam. The Braisa could have just stayed consistent with Levi being born before the Yibam and should have differentiated between a case where there's one Yavam and a case where there are two Yavams. Where it says the Braisa is only discussing a case with two Yavams, that's why you have to differentiate in that way. In fact, by stating a general rule, Shimon seems to be discussing cases with one Yavam as well. Second question for Rabbi Shaya is, a Mishnah says if there are three brothers, two of which are married to two sisters or a mother and a daughter, and these two brothers then die without children, the third brother has to do chalitza, not yibam. Rav Shimon says that even chalitza is not needed. Now, if Rav Shimon holds that there is Zika, the first woman to fall Yibam should be considered as if she's married to the third brother, and she should have to do Yibam or Chalitza, he should have to do Yibam or Chalitza to that woman, even if the second woman then falls to Yibam. Mar said Rav Shimon means that the second woman is Pater. He doesn't mean that the first, that they're both Pater. In fact, Mar Brisa clearly says that Rav Shimon says that both women are Pater. So Rava said the case in the Mishnah is where Reuven had two wives, and Shimon married the sister of one of those wives and the daughter of the other one. In this case, as soon as Reuven's wife falls to Levi, the Zika makes it that he's considered to be married to one of them. Eventually, he will do Yibam or Chalitza to one, and the other will be Potter. Now, one of Shimon's wives are an Erva to Levi as being the relative of one of Reuven's wives, who is his Zika wife. The other of Shimon's wife is Potter as a Tzaras Erva. Based on this, what Shimon means is that both women of the second pair are Potter. In fact, the Mishnah seems to clearly speak of a case of when each has only one wife, which is not like Rava's understanding. Also, a bride seems to clearly say that if Shimon says that the wives of both brothers are Pater, Rav Ashi said if the brothers died one after the other, if Shimon would take a hold that the Zika created by the first death creates the first widow as married to the brother. However, in this case, we're discussing where they died simultaneously, and therefore one Zika was not created before the other. The Gemara of Papa said that Rav Shimon only argues with the Rabbanim when Levi is born after Shimon had already done Yibam. However, when Levi is born before the Yibam, he would agree that Levi would be usher to her if Shimon were to die. Although the Mishnah should have discussed the case of the Machloikis, the Mishnah taught both, even though it seems to be unnecessary. As I said, Rav Papa. Where it says the Braisa is approved to Rav Papa and therefore refutes Rav Shaya, because the Braisa says, number one, if Reuven dies without children and Shimon wanted to do Maimah, but before he could do it, Levi was born and then Shimon died, Levi is also to Reuven's wife as an Eshtach Shalai Beilamai, and Shimon's wife needs Chalitza or Yibam. Number two, if Shimon did Maimah and then Levi's born, or if Levi was born and then Shimon did Maimah and then Shimon died, Reuven's wife is Pater as Eshtach Shalai Beilamai, and Shimon's wife has to get Chalitza, not Yibam. Rav Shimon says that Yibam or Chalitza with Shimon's wife would make Reuven's wife Pater. Third case, if Shimon did Yibam and then died, and then Levi was born, or if Levi was born and then Shimon did the Yibam, both women are Potter. Fourth case, if Shimon did Yibam and then Levi was born and then Shimon died, Reb Meir says both women are Potter. Reb Shimon says since Levi was born when the women were married to Shimon, Levi can do Yibam and Chalitza to either of the women. Now, according to Reb Meir, these cases can be mingled and taught together. The reason they're separated is because it's only in this last case that Reb Shimon argues. This is a proof to our Papa's understanding of Reb Shimon, Shema Amina. Fekhmer, though, why in the Bryce's first case does the Bryce need to say that Shimon wanted to do Maimer? If it was done, it was done. If it wasn't, it wasn't. Mar says the Bryce means to say that if he wanted to do Maimer, but she didn't want to accept it, and he gave it to her against her will, it's not a Maimer. This disagrees with Rebbe, who says that Maimer can be done Bal Karcha, just like the Bia of Yibam can be done Bal Karcha. The Rabbanan say that just like regular Kedushin can't be done Bal Karcha, so too Maimer can't be done Bal Karcha either. In the Bryce's second case, Rav Shimon said that the Yibam or Chalitza with Shimon's wife will exempt Reuven's wife. That must be talking only in the case where Maimer was done and then Levi was born, because we have proven that Rav Shimon will not argue if he's born before she was married to Shimon. Also, even in the first case, if Levi does Chalitza to Reuven's wife, it will not pater Shimon's wife, because Reuven's wife is a suffix, depending on whether Maimer makes a full kinyan, and Shimon's wife is certainly subject to Yibam Chalitza. Chalitza on a suffix can't exempt the obligation, which is for certain. Rav Nashrad Zvid asks, why did the Rabbanan say Levi is also to Reuven's wife if Shimon had already done Yibam before Levi was born. He comes into the world and finds her to be mutter, being married to Shimon. The reason is, the pasuk says, V'yibma, which refers to the woman as a Yavama, even after Yivam. This means that she's always somewhat considered to be the wife of Reuven, which is therefore usher to Levi. In fact, our Mishnah says that once Yibam is done, she becomes a full-fledged wife in every way. She requires a get, and may be remarried. Mara says, the pasuk says, U'lakacha loy li'isha, which teaches that she's treated like a regular wife. So when do we apply which drasha? On the one hand, it's full of wife. On the other hand, Yibma, she's always somewhat the wife of Reuven. Mara says, we apply the permissive drasha in a permitted situation, and the prohibitive drasha in a prohibited situation, meaning where Levi was born after Reuven's death. According to Rav Shimon, who says that since the new brother enters the world when the Yavama is already married, she's mutter to him, why don't we say the same thing regarding any other Eva, meaning when Levi is born, when his maternal sister is married to his paternal brother, we should allow his sister for Yibam, just like Eishazach of Shaloi HaYabalami goes away, maybe every other Eva goes away. The Mar says, the other Aroyas are never removed, and therefore don't get removed in that situation either. However, the Eva of Eishazach does get removed, and therefore it gets removed in this case as well as Eishazach of Shaloi HaYabalami.